My name is Chantal O'Reilly. I'm a freelance environmental reporter. This story was published in 2020 by Vice science website Motherboard. At the time, no one was really talking about PFAS chemicals, at least not outside of the communities where they were found. In this sense, the title, The New York Water Crisis That Nobody's Talking About, is apt. The story reports on the issues faced by the Newburgh community during its PFAS water crisis. PFAS stands for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. They've been nicknamed forever chemicals because they don't break down in the natural environment. In fact, researchers don't know if they ever fully degrade on their own. Their durability comes from their chemical structure and the carbon-fluorine bond, one of the strongest bonds known in chemistry. They're found in everything, from nonstick pans and carpets to makeup and microwavable popcorn bags. They're also found at military bases where PFAS-laden fire foam was used in firefighting drills. One of these sites is the Stewart Air National Guard Base, located about a mile away from the city of Newburgh. In 2016, city residents learned that PFAS had flowed downhill from the airbase and into the city's water supply. As a reporter at a small Newburgh newspaper, I did my best to cover what was known then about the health effects of PFAS exposure. We'd eventually learn that the chemicals were linked to certain cancers and other serious diseases. And what struck me then and even now was the injustice of it all. The military had poisoned the water supply of 30,000 people. These were mostly Black and Latino people, about 30% of whom lived at or below the poverty line. It's 6 years later, and I continue to cover PFAS pollution in communities of color. In each case, certain patterns emerge. They've often been ignored by government agencies. They drink tap water polluted by nearby industry. And they're already saddled with high rates of chronic disease, to which PFAS pollution is added. These are issues I'm intimately familiar with because I've spent years working with these communities. I know what it means to be brown-skinned without access to fresh air and clean water. The people I interview seem to understand this, and they've opened up to me in ways that they don't feel able to do with other journalists. So this puts me in a unique position to tell their stories, truthfully and with a deep empathy.